Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast with Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist. Control Talk Now, your source for control news you can use. And now, here is Eric.
All right, here we go, big dog. Hi, this is Eric Stromquist. Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast for the week ending December 21st, 2014. I am joined, as usual, by the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Christmas Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Kenny, welcome to the show, big dog.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be here, and it's a beautiful day here in Pittsburgh. Nice, crisp, wintry day. How's it down there in Georgia? What do you got, about 75?
No, it's overcast, probably in the 40s. Are you going to have a white Christmas up there, you think? You ain't snow on the ground yet?
Just a little dusting. It's cold. It's like 27 degrees, but no accumulated snow.
Well, the community wants to know if Santa is going to bring you a playoff berth for Christmas for your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I sure hope so. we will take it. No, I'm kidding. The game against Kansas City coming up a little bit later on this afternoon is going to be the telltale story. They got a tough team, and we're 9-5, and we could walk right into the playoffs. We could win the division if we beat Kansas City tomorrow and we beat Cincinnati next week. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Terry Swope and the group out at Link Spring are probably going to root against you there, big dog. Probably going to root against you. So
I don't blame them.
So as we get closer to the Control Trends Awards, Kenny, we want to begin to acknowledge some of our sponsors two at a time, our platinum sponsors. So who are our two platinum sponsors for this week's show?
Our sponsors this week, Eric, are Contemporary Controls, your ideal partner for applying network technology to building automations, and International Solutions of America, and the great job they do down there providing solutions and systems that work.
Well, I tell you, great companies there. We discovered, as we mentioned on the show before, Mike Everson and Julio Rodriguez. Julio's a big Control Trends fan. He reached out to us. We went up, I guess it was last spring or summer, Kenny, visited their place in Louisville, Kentucky. They are one of the best-kept secrets in the industry, Kenny. They repair legacy fire alarm systems and control systems. So if you've got a real old Johnson system, Honeywell system, and you don't have the budget to upgrade right away, these guys provide a great solution to sort of get you through till you get the money and the budget to update.
Case study they had was the U.S. Naval Academy, where they came in and really, truly took a very desperate situation. When that hurricane hit the East Coast, one of the biggest, hardest hit was the United States Naval Academy. They had the DDC system. It was over 10 years old, and Hurricane Isabel wreaked havoc and just left them wet, soggy. And what ISA did was they fully restored the existing automation system and then also transitioned so that they could migrate successfully to the next generation building controls. When like you said, when this, the costs abated and they had savings or they had new budgets or whatever. So do a good job out there to help solve real problems that people face.
Absolutely, Kenny. Absolutely. And tell us about our other sponsor.
Well, Contemporary Controls, man, these guys are, you know, the captains of network technology. And, you know, basically they have the ability to help you solve, you know, connectivity issues. You know, when you're going from this protocol to this protocol, they have the products, but they also have a tremendous support that they have on their site. I go there all the time to get information from their video library or their learning center because they just put a lot of general information about the FAQs for Ethernet, for BACnet, for control link presentations, glossary of industrial terms. I mean, they are like an educational source, a learning center that they make available. They're very generous with all that really important information. They talk about switches. So if you don't know much about what switch, you know, somebody's trying to, you know, tell you got to do this or do that, or you need to know about the power over the Internet, I'm sorry, power of the Ethernet or fiber optics. You know, some of these esoteric areas where you don't bump into them all the time, so all of a sudden you have to get smart quickly because you got some business reason to do it, and they give you a lot of information. Great job at Contemporary Controls.
Well, you know what happens when you get George Thomas and that guy from Enron, Jeffrey, I forget his name, the guy that went to jail. Those two guys get together, and people look around, and they go, George Thomas is definitely the smartest guy in the room. We're big fans of George Thomas. He is brilliant. really has added so much to our industry. He captains Contemporary Controls and walks his talk, Kenny. He's involved with the manufacturing, the design, the sales, everything. So congratulations to George and his team at Contemporary Controls. They're both up for several awards, as is our friends at ISA. So good luck to everybody. Be sure to vote. The voting's going fast and furious. The voting period ends January 15th, Kenny. I've had a couple more questions. People are asking why they have, not a lot of people, but a few people are asking why they have to complete the whole ballot. And the reason we're doing that, Kenny, is we really want people to take the time to get involved. So if you don't deal with VFDs, for instance, just go on Control Trends, hit VFD in the search engine, make an educated guess, go with the one that resonates with you the most. Because a big part of social media, and Kenny, is you want to get out there because so people resonate with you. So if you don't know a lot about the technology, go with whichever one resonates with you, because that's useful information to the manufacturers and helps them sort of fine-tune their media, their social media packages, if you will. So be sure to vote. You can take that link, send it out to your network. You will have to provide email addresses and company names and stuff like that so that we can, you know, verify that the ballots are valid. We will not share your information or give it to anybody else. And hell, we won't even send you anything. So it's just basically part of the verification process we have for the Control Trends Awards. And with that, Kenny, I want to shift gear and look at our economic Control Trends economic barometer. More and more people are taking a second and clicking there. If the barometer is to be believed, Kenny, you should be buying stock in controls companies like Honeywell, Snyder Electric, Johnson Controls, because, Kenny, 54% of our Control Trends community say the controls business is going to be up over 10%. A whopping 24 say they'll be flat to up to 10%, 7%, or excuse me, 9% say they'll be flat. And we only roughly have 3% say they'll be down less than 10%, and 7% saying they're going to be down over 10%. So if the barometer is to be believed, looks like 2015 is going to be a good year.
I agree. I've never said that. It keeps getting better as more people take part in the actual pool. It's increased now. So we've got about a 90% optimistic rate. You know, people coming in there either saying they're going to stay the same, grow a certain amount, or grow a lot. And that's good to know, because, like you said, it just makes everybody feel like you're on the right track. You don't have that sense of despair that I think was apparent maybe a year ago, starting to convert. Now I think people are seeing a lot of economic opportunities, and they're pursuing them. And that's part of what we're trying to do. We inspire ourselves, and we inspire everybody else to start getting out there and create a market, create the transactions, help solve people's problems and make a living doing it.
Yeah, it's a good industry to be in. It goes hand in glove with our Young Guns initiative. So if you're a little bit younger, it looks like our industry is going to be the place to be at least for next year. So, Kenny, we got two fabulous guests on the show this week. So let's get through some of the weekend review so that we can get to our guests. So what did we have up first, Kenny?
First up, Eric, we had Sky Foundry. Sky Foundry is a revolutionary new technology for transforming smart device data into business solutions by detecting patterns that represent faults, deviations, anomalies, and opportunities for savings. Program analytics package that she finds the data that matters. I mean, I get tripped up with so much talking about big data and whatever. I always have problems. But then John Petsy has a way to make you understand. You're looking at trends, alarms, and faults. And then Sky Foundry enables the creation of these sparks. So it's not tremendously difficult. So it's hard to do. I mean, you got to know what you're doing to get it set up. But once you do, it really delivers high-level benefits, cost savings.
Yeah, John Petsy, another one of the greats in our industry. He was acknowledged last year at the Control Trends Awards with the PTOC Award. And John's just a fantastic individual. Sky Foundry is a fantastic company. And I tell you, a little known story about John. I mean, what is kind of known in our circles, Kenny, is I guess the U.S. government contracted out. They wanted to get a handle on their big data, and they reached out to people like IBM and some of these other really big companies. And then there was John Petsy and Sky Foundry, and he wowed the government. So John got that contract. So John is definitely a heavyweight, and we're lucky to have him in our industry. So what do we have up next, Kenny?
All right, next up we have LinkSpring, nominated for multiple 2014 Control Trends Awards. E! News from Mark Petock. And good kind of synopsis on where Linkspring has just been getting bigger and better and more prominent. But they were nominated for 8 individual nomination categories, to include the Best Plant Equipment Controller, Programming Software of the Year, the Linkspring UMT, Innovative Product of the Year, Lynx Cyber Pro TM, Building Automation Control System of the Year, Genesis Technical Support, Small Manufacturer, Best Technical Support Company, Small Peter Leonard, the Control Trends Executive of the Year, Terry Swope, and Control Trends Vendor of the Year, Small Manufacturer, Linkspring. So, well done, Mark. Linkspring is on the move and very successful. It's been recognized by the Control Trends community.
Well, they have, Kenny, and I think the world of these guys. They're a smaller company, privately held, as far as I know. And they're really about doing the right things. A lot of integrity there. Great guys to work with. Of course, Mark is the master of ceremonies at the Control Trends Awards, and we'll give you a little foreshadowing. Mark is going to be joined this year by a very special co-host, which you'll just have to go to the awards to find out who she is. So, but I can just tell you it's going to be fantastic. And we appreciate Mark, Terry, and the rest of them at Linkspring. And good luck to those guys. If you like what you hear of those guys, be sure to reach out and vote. Voting ballot is on the right side of the Control Trends webpage with a big button that says vote. Just click it. It'll take you right to your ballot. You can actually forward that out to your community. So don't be shy about that. All right, Kenny, what do we have up next?
Well, next up, Eric, we had a very serious post. It was heads up, hackers hint at terrorist attacks, release more data from Sony Pictures. And IT World sent this email out. Senior writer, staff writer, Steve Ragan, R-A-G-A-N, really summed up some interesting developments. We've gone now from potential threats, veiled, that we can lose all our public information, and then people can steal the movies from Sony, go and hacked into Sony's archives and start giving away free movies. But now we know that Sony's $60 million insurance coverage will not be enough to recover from the theft of Sony Pictures Entertainment content and the leakage of more than 200 gigabytes of data, including pre-press release movies, executives' emails, sales and marketing data, and nearly everything from human resources, to include HIPAA, protected health information, Social Security numbers, claims, appeals information submitted to the SP. So the story is that basically the Guardians of Peace, GOP, have moved away from their normal rhetoric using thinly veiled threats of terror attacks on Christmas Day, when the Sony picture, the interview, was going to be released. Now, I don't know how today's news, but I know that that's elevated now to the highest levels, and that's now changed North Korea's status on the with our government, and this is big stuff. This is serious, and we don't like to see things escalate in this level, but we thought we needed to keep the Control Trends community advised of this possible threat. What are your thoughts about that?
Kenny, what's this movie about, and why are they so upset about this damn movie?
Well, it's a parody. It's this, it's a pretty, it's a serious topic that's treated with high levels of comedy. And basically they talk about, taking a hit on one of the world leaders using a couple of guys that bungle everything up. So it's like a Maxwell Smart type of thing where, it's for entertainment. And I think these people took this as a serious attack on their credibility, on their leader. And they had some technical assets that they were able to employ to counter the parody.
It's kind of like an oxymoron. I mean, the Guardians of Peace and they're threatening violence. I've never heard of the group before. Had you?
I've heard. I did because of the issues with Sony. I mean, but it was probably about right around Thanksgiving time. I think was the first information. I didn't take it serious. And that's just it. I didn't know how well they've been on Sony. They've hacked into Sony since I guess early November.
So why do they like Sony? I mean, are they hacking into other people too?
So Sony's making the picture.
I understand that. So that's why they're hacking in, because of the picture.
Well, that and probably the that they were a fat, easy target. But once to me, I don't know much more than the actual the sequence of events where they were making this movie. The movie was insulting And then got in there, and then they really had a field day with Sony's records and whatever. And it's, they basically threatened Sony up to including a terrorist attack that they were going to stop that movie from going. And it's not funny, and that they didn't want people to go to it.
Yeah, understood. Okay, well, fingers crossed. Yeah, I understand they've taken the movie off for Christmas Day. Wow. All right. Well, Kenny, let's move on to happier topics here. Let's get to our next post.
The framework that changed our world, and that is the Niagara framework. Tritium's Niagara AX is nominated for the 2014 Control Trends Awards Building Integration and Automation Software of the Year, and understandably so. This Niagara software platform has driven change and innovation and made the smart, connected building as we perceive it a reality. So Tritium's next generation Niagara 4, whose full release is imminent, is even more awesome. And stay tuned to Control Trends because we're going to help disseminate that information.
Cool stuff. Well, Kenny, and I tell you what, I think this is as good a time as any. Let's bring our first guest on. Tell our listeners a little about who we've got on the line.
Guest is a very special guest. We have Nino DeCosmo, President and General Manager at Tritium. Nino, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Nino.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
All right, Nino, it's great to have you on the show today. Two things. First of all, thank you. And secondly, congratulations. Thank you very much. As you know, Tritium has come on again as a platinum sponsor for the 2014 Control Trends Awards. We really appreciate that. And congratulations. You guys are nominated for 6 awards this year.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it very much. I mean, from our perspective, it's an honor to be associated with Control Trends and all the work that you two do. We appreciate it very, very much. And so from our perspective, we say thank you to everybody that's involved, from the innovative community and the sets of partners that we have, to all the people that are involved here at Tritium as well. And all those things together lead to solutions that wow the marketplace, right? And so we're just excited to be a part of it. We've got a lot going on the second half of 2014 and going into 2015. We think the best is yet to come. So,
yeah, it sounds like you guys are doing a lot of moving and shaking, and it sounds like 2015 is going to be really something special.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd probably like to just close out 2014 real fast before we talk about 2015. But if you go back to the beginning when we introduced our products, we had a very successful Niagara Summit in Las Vegas this year. We introduced the world to the next generation of Niagara and our Jace hardware platform, which is known as our Titan product. And so the second half of the year, we really moved into high gear on the development of those products, and they're going into early adoption and beta as we speak. So the community is already starting to get a working knowledge and flavor of those products. And we launched the largest ever beta program, early adoption program in the history of the company. We had over 250 applications to take the product into production environments, and so we're working through the selection of our partners that are going to take those products and put them into early stage production. And we're asking for all the feedback in the world because we want to make it a truly epic launch and a product that's going to wow and change the world. So we're really excited about that. That's been our focus for the second half of the year. But along the way, we also launched our Niagara Analytics framework. That happened back in the October timeframe. So that's a sub framework that offers Niagara as a single tool to include analytics capability and work order management capability. So we've really expanded the framework in a real positive way, and we're getting a lot of initial uptake on that product. That's pretty exciting to see. And then the last thing we did, if we didn't have enough to do, is that we launched Niagara into the data center community. So from a commercial building segment, we've been putting Niagara into data centers across the world, but now we've started to expand and said, hey, if you're in the data center production environment, which is the white space where all the servers and all the data actually exists, you can use Niagara in there too. And so we're starting to tell the world about how Niagara can be used as the software backbone for the facility beyond just the traditional HVAC and other systems in the facility can also go into production environments. And so it's been a busy time, but, you know, we're really excited. And all of that led to a couple of nominations for some awards, and we couldn't be more honored to have that opportunity.
Well, okay, so, Nino, like I mentioned earlier, you guys are up for 6 awards, included in that the Plant Equipment Controller of the Year, the Building Integration and Automation Software of the Year. And then, of course, you've got the great people coming up. You're up for Best Technical Support as a Company. And then you got three people awards. James Johnson is nominated again for Best Technical Support. James has won the last 2 years in a row. And John Sublett's up for the PID Award, Professionalism, Integrity, and Dedication. And, of course, you're up for the HVAC Controls Executive of the Year. So congratulations to all the folks. So what can you tell us about James and John?
Yeah, well, I appreciate it very much. You know, it's an exciting opportunity, I think. If you look at the products, and certainly we're honored to have those awards for our products, but you really nailed it. At the end of the day, you bet on people, and those are the people that are going to innovate and ensure that the products are world-class and that the services we provide are world-class. So when you think about the award for Best Technical Support, we're really excited about that because we announced at the summit, and we've spent the last 6 months overhauling our approach towards customer experience. And so we've centralized some of those operations within Tritium. We've invested in new technologies. We've brought in new people to help us with that, as well as blending the team that was here. And so to have an opportunity to recognize that from the external community, then that's absolutely fabulous. And then if you get a little more specific and you start to look at James Johnson, he's absolutely tireless. And so he deserves an opportunity to be recognized. And I think it's going to be consecutive years for him, right? Because he does a wonderful job of working with customers on a regular basis and trying to make something that can be quite technical and complex into something easy to absorb for our community so they can go ahead and deploy solutions in a positive way. And then finally, what can you say about John Sublett? I mean, he was here from the beginning, right? So he continues to have the energy and the creativeness necessary to innovate across generations of product. And that's a pretty special thing. Not all founders can do that for extended periods of time, but John's been doing it since 1996. And you know what? He brings the same energy every day that I know he did in 1996. It wouldn't be possible for his energy levels to be I can't imagine if they were higher. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, phenomenal team you have around you. You know, Kenny deals with James Johnson on a fairly regular basis. Kenny, what can you say about James? I mean, I hear you talk about him all the time.
Well, he's just, I think he is the one of the sharpest knives in the drawer. Plus, he's so fun to work with, and he's just plain smart. He's got a great background. He does above and beyond the Vicon Pro. He does additional training. So, as Nino mentioned, he takes applications to the level where the Niagara community can use them and make them repeatable, successful applications. And, he's one of my favorite people of all time. So, he won 2012, 2013. He's certainly in the running for 2014.
So, Nina, with all these great products and great people, talk a bit about your philosophy and your company's philosophy around this. You must spend a lot of time sort of dialing this in.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time over the last 20 months, I guess, since I came into Tritium, looking at, you know, what has made us successful, and then how do we take that success and those characteristics of success and translate them into opportunities to continue to expand the Niagara framework and the deployment of the Niagara framework. And so we made a couple of key decisions. We knew we had to bring out the next generation of our products. So Niagara 4 and Titan are going to be announced and released to market, like I said, in the first half of 2015. We're on track to do that. And what those products are going to allow us to do is we've built in world-class user interface, user experience. We've brought things that used to take weeks in Niagara AX down to minutes, if not faster. The way that it manages and devices and systems and the interoperability of those has been improved dramatically, as well as looking at how we make it more scalable across extremely large hyperscale deployments and more secure across those deployments as well. So those are just a couple things. But we knew we had to do that if we wanted to continue to expand the commercial space that we're in now, but also give the opportunity for that product to go even farther than that. Because what we also found, besides the fact that it was requiring, you know, next generation of products, what we also found is our systems integration community and all our partners had taken Niagara to places we never dreamed of. So again, it goes back to you put powerful open software into the hands of innovative, creative communities, and all of a sudden you're powered by possibilities, right? So with that in mind, we knew that if we did those things, we could start to look at a much larger opportunity. And we think the Internet of Things, or, you know, the opportunity to expand and start to connect systems and devices across all segments, whether those are adjacent segments to commercial facilities, like industrial facilities, or for example, even more definitive data centers. But it also allowed us to go into smart cities. It also allows us to go into places that we hadn't traditionally been, because the problem we solved from a interoperability, connectivity, data normalization is the same problem that's being faced across the globe right now. So big data, analytics, those are all things Niagara's been good at, and our community has been good at solving those kinds of problems. So so we feel real strongly that we'll be able to take what we have, build on it, and continue to drive it into new horizons, both for our partners as well as for the company. So,
okay, Nino, so you're up for Control Trends as Executive of the Year, large manufacturer. Tell us where you got involved, how you got started in the business, and where your passions lie.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. It's an honor to be nominated. And when you look at all the great people that we just talked about and all the partners that over the last couple of years have helped me understand this particular customer segment and the commercial facilities industry, you know, I'm very fortunate to have gone through that experience and have great people to work with. So being nominated for an award like this is an honor for me, but it really speaks to everybody that's been involved in it and the kind of team effort it takes to be successful. So where did I get my start in the business? I started more than 20 years ago with a company called EDS. It was founded in the 1960s by Ross Perot. And so I grew up in a software and technology business. It's now part of Hewlett Packard. But I grew up in a software and technology business that was very innovative and very leading edge, right? So when I started with the business, it was about a $5 billion company. When I finished more than 10 years later, and decided to move on to new opportunities, it was $20 billion. So we saw just about every technology trend that happened over a decade. We made a heck of a lot of mistakes in the development and deployment of software and technology solutions, but we learned a lot, and it gave me a great foundation to continue in the software business. And so in the last 10 years, I've run two different technology companies, always deploying software into a number of different segments, so either manufacturing, public sector deployment of software, financial industry. So a number of different segments, always deploying software and solutions in a global environment. So for that, when I was approached about the opportunity for Tritium, it really provided a good foundation for continuing to try to build out the Niagara solution. And the thing that was attractive to me is that very seldom in the career of a technology leader, you get to work on a framework technology. The framework technology, like an OS, allows you to connect systems, connect devices, build on it, build with it. And so it really provides a degree of flexibility that in the right hands of creative, innovative individuals, you can really change the world. It goes beyond just saying, hey, can we turn the lights on and off in a building? But it really goes to the point of where you make the world a better place. You can deploy it inside the buildings. You can create a better situation with carbon footprint, energy savings. I mean, the list goes on. And so that kind of opportunity is one that you don't pass up, and one that felt like the right next step in my career. And so it's exciting to be here, and I plan on being here for as long as everyone will have me.
Well, I tell you what, Nino, I love your passion. The story that I'd heard about you was when you first started with the company, you actually got out on the road and spent time riding around in the cars. I know our friend Scott Cochran, who is a big Niagara partner, was really impressed with your willingness just to get in the car with him and ride around and talk to customers. So you fostered a lot of respect with that. But I've got to ask you, I hear so much passion in your voice about technology and innovation. Who are some of the people when you look out in adjacent industries that you admire and think sort of get it?
Well, that's a great question, right? Maybe I'll answer the question a little bit different if I can, Eric.
Sure.
So a couple ways. When I started in this business, it was made very, very clear to us that business happens with customers in the field. And so a lot of things that happen in the office are interesting, and you got to spend time there, and you got to make sure the business runs. but you need to spend time in the field with customers. They educate you, they help you understand how your solutions are working or not working, and they help you understand how to innovate, right? And so I will always spend my time in the field with customers. I never turn down an opportunity to have a conversation with a customer. You know, you mentioned Scott. Scott's a great innovator and very visionary in the segment, right? So was a great opportunity to spend some time with him and others along the way that taught me about the business. So that's something that I think every good leader does. Your question says, hey, who in the technology industry? There's a lot of great ones that I can easily point to and say, hey, look, disruptive change, right, with what Steve Jobs did the first time and the second time at Apple, what Bill Gates did the first time and the second time at Microsoft. What I mean by that is the initial 20 years at Microsoft and then the last 20 years at Microsoft, if you will, and how they drive innovative change. I guess if you ask me who are individuals that I've looked to and tried to model myself after, or at least understand better, I would probably go back to, and this is probably going to sound a little corny, guys, but I'd probably go back to and say, hey, look, it's great leaders like Abraham Lincoln,
yep,
who managed a country through disruptive changes and kept an organization together, brought it together, and kept it moving forward in a positive way. We can debate that historically, that's fine. But those are the kind of leaders that come with integrity, that come with fortitude. And I feel like if I bring that to every opportunity that I take, that's the kind of thing that's gonna ultimately lead to success, right? And you know what? That's why John Sublette's been successful and why he's up for an award that talks about fortitude and integrity, right? So you look at leaders like that over history and you say, wow, there's somebody that you got to point a finger at and try to emulate, because you're gonna be successful if you do that.
Oh, well said, Nino. Well said. Do you see the building automation controls now being in a disruptive phase, or is Niagara all about creating disruption to take things to the next level?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if you go back to the original founding of the company, the founders had some great vision in that they recognized the opportunity to disrupt the marketplace, and the marketplace was ready for it. It had some proprietary technologies, as well as a tremendous amount of legacy investment in existing systems and some siloed systems that made it very difficult for those situations to be either ripped out and replaced or integrated in a way that could provide data and therefore information to leadership to make good decisions on their facilities. So the Tritium founders executed, I think, a great product and a great model in order to disrupt that industry. And so you had the original software package R2 and then AX, right? So if you look at 18 years down the road, certainly there's another opportunity, same kind of inflection point, not only in commercial buildings, but then just kind of the Internet of Things and the opportunity to continue to take those same characteristics that at that time and apply them now. So legacy systems that are very difficult to rip and replace. Everybody wants to protect those investments. Disparate protocols that require open kinds of interfaces to consolidate data, aggregate it, normalize it. And then the opportunity to disrupt all of that because you still have everybody wanting to win with their own system in some way, shape, or form. So you bring the next generation Niagara into the marketplace, continue to have open, continue to have the opportunity to integrate systems and utilize data in a large scale way, combine that with some technology investments that allow for faster processing, more processing power at lower price points, more analytics power, and all of a sudden you've got another inflection point for disruption. And yeah, we think Tritium and Niagara 4 are going to continue to move that disruption along. So,
all right, Nino, changing gears again. What do you do for fun? All this tough work at the office, at the end of the day, you got to have some way to relieve that tension, that the thought processes. How do you relax?
Oh, good question. I don't know how I relax. I've got four kids and a wife at home. So and they're all under the age of 11. So 11, 9, 7, and 5. They keep me hopping. They're a tremendous amount of fun. And, you know, they're quite candidly the four of them and my wife, so I guess the five of them are probably the greatest thing in my life. So
nice.
I go home every day. I look forward to going home every day. Obviously travel a lot, probably more than my wife and I would like, but the position requires that, and that's what we signed up for when we came to Tritium. So we've got you know, I've got responsibilities and accountabilities to the people and to the community. And I take that very serious. And so when I go home, I like to spend time with them. We've just relocated to the Richmond area from Michigan. So we have a great opportunity to explore Virginia, which has got a tremendous amount of history. So when I mentioned Abraham Lincoln earlier, what a great place to understand history better. So Richmond's a great place for us. So I'm a big sports guy. I like watching any sport on the planet can bring me in very quickly in front of the television and as well as live. So I grew up playing soccer. I played all the way through college. So since I'm a little old to do that, I've probably turned to golf, and I'll as many times as I can get 18 holes in, I'll do that. So
Nino, I think four kids under an age of 11 might be a definition of disruptive technology, huh?
I've got a really cool job. In fact, I'd argue I got the best job on the planet. I get to stand on the shoulders of giants and lead this company. Great group of people, whether that's internal to Tritium, whether that's in our partners, our distribution channels, and take all the awards and the accolades that come with it. So from that perspective, anything that happens to Tritium is an award for the community. If it happens to somebody individual, it's still an award for the community. So, and I believe that 100%. There is no individual accomplishments. It's all how the team comes together and delivers solutions. So I believe that.
There you have it, our guest, Nino DeCosmo. Nino, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to be with us. You can see Nino at the 2014 Control Trends Awards in Chicago, and Niagara will have a Tritium will have a booth there too. Be sure and stop by and see them there. But hey, if you hadn't checked these guys out, check them out. Nino, thanks so much.
Thank you, Nino.
Thanks, guys. Hey, have a great day.
Wow, great stuff from Nino, huh, Kenny?
Sure is, and great stuff from NiagaraX. Yeah, what a leader, what an executive.
All right, Kenny, what's our next post?
Okay, Eric, the next post is Thermacon, keeping in touch with the future. This is a great post from our friends from Thermacon Sensor Technique, GmbH. Thermacon is also nominated this year in the Control Trends Awards for the Thermacon EasySense in Ocean. It's nominated for the Wireless Product Solution of the Year. And the sales manager in North America, David Alaban, was very excited about how Thermacon is about their continued success and growth in the North American market. He made it very clear to me, though, a couple of times that they're not just wireless products, but they also have an extensive wired solution, wired product platform to include the humidity, temperature, pressure. They've got some really good stuff, and they all make it out of the Thermacon Sensor Technique GmbH, which was founded in 1987 by Harald Zeigen, and it's in Germany. And they never expected the business to grow on this scale. I mean, originally, they made the temperature sensors for the boiler industry. And then over the course of the year, the product portfolio was expanded, and they went they were into this high quality of temperature and humidity and air quality and light in motion as well. And so their portfolio just kept growing until they became a product platform and portfolio that was very well designed for intelligent buildings, which needed very low-cost, accurate products. So Thermacon is doing very well. They were also well in Europe. Now they're in North America, and they're spreading.
Well, they're doing great, Kenny, and I think they're right at the heart of a technology that is really gaining momentum. Wireless sensors have been around for a while in our industry, as you and I both know, with sort of mixed results. But I think the beauty of InOcean, to me, Kenny, is the fact that these wireless sensors are self-powering for the most part, meaning you don't have to run any wires to them or put batteries in them and things like that. They're able to gain power either from ambient light or from the kinetic motion of the rocker switches or whatever. So it really puts a building owner or a contractor that's servicing a building owner design build in a great way, because if they redesign an office space, the sensors are just Velcroed on. You can just take them, move them from wall to wall. You don't have to worry about running wires. So it is a great technology. But hey, Kenny, instead of me and you and me talking about it, I think let's just bring David Alaban on. Let's introduce our next guest.
All right, I'd love to. Our next guest is Mr. David Alaban. David is the sales manager for North America for Thermacon. And Thermacon is quite a product line. They're sponsors for the Control Trends Awards 2014 in McCormick. We've had some great posts from Thermacon in the past where BMW not included flashy welcome to Thermacon's Thanos in modern living. They make a great energy harvesting display products. And Welcome to the show, David.
Yeah, David, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Ken. Yeah, thanks, Ken. Thanks, Eric. Pleasure to be here, as always.
So, David, first question our listeners want to know, because if you haven't seen some of the wonderful advertisements that Thermacon's done with the beautiful women taking showers, the first question our audience wants to know, is it true, David, that you actually interview and select the models yourself?
Yeah, that's of course, that's the reason why I took the job, Eric, to be honest.
No, David, that's good stuff. All right, well, so glad we got that cleared up. Now that the serious stuff is taken care of, we can get down to business here. David, Thermacon is nominated by the Worldwide Control Trends Community for the Wireless Solution of the Year. And Thermacon has also come on as a sponsor for the 2014 Control Trends Award. So let me begin by saying thank you and congratulations.
No problem, Eric. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be involved with Control Trends. We're excited about the awards in Chicago, and we're hoping to be quite successful. Based on we have done a lot of projects this year, and in various applications, and we're excited and confident.
Hey, David. In review, why don't you tell our listeners about Thermacon? You're a worldwide company, and you've made a very strong inroads to North America. Tell us a little bit more about Thermacon.
Okay, Ken. Well, Thermacon, this is our 27th year in business. We're a multinational company. Headquarters is in Mittenaar, which is in the Hessen region of Germany, where we have about 150 employees. We have locations in Asia, Europe, and over the last 18 months, we've had Thermacon Americas to support the North American market.
Right.
So we manufacture wide range of sensors, peripherals for the HVAC, BMS, building automation industry, from wireless to hardwired sensors. Wireless based on the Enocean technology, and wired sensors for temperature, humidity, pressure, CO2, light and motion. We do BACnet, LON, Modbus communicating sensors. Just a few of the products that we're famous for.
Well, it's quite a portfolio, yeah.
I think one of the things you bring to the table, David, is you really have a worldwide perspective. Talk to us about wireless and its sort of acceptance vis-a-vis the rest of the world versus what you're perceiving in the U.S. so far.
Okay. Well, the Enocean technology and the Thermacon EasySense products has been very well received throughout of Europe with the 868 megahertz frequency. But we've seen a big increase in interest and projects potentially and completed for North America, especially with the new 902 frequency that Thermacon and Enocean is using. It's a lot better signal, more stable, more reliable signal strength.
But talk about more in depth the hard wire solutions that you have. People don't realize, I don't think, in the North American market, how good your products are, your bread and butter products are hardwired, and you really have great products for CO2, temperature, and humidity. Could you go over that again?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ken. We are famous for Enocean EasySense technology in North America. But, as I said before, it's our 27th year in business, and we started off as a manufacturer of temperature sensors for the heating boiler industry. And our portfolio has grown to all kinds of hardwired temperature sensors, from passive NTC sensors, thermistors, to RTD sensors, to high temperature sensors. We have wired humidity sensors, both wall-mounted and duct-mounted. We have just standardized on our 2% accurate humidity sensors for temperature and humidity combined. All the products are NEMA 4 rated for North America. We have a 5-year warranty on all of our wired sensors. We have a nice range of CO2 sensors as well. which duck mounted, wall mounted again, with LCD and LED display options, wide range of pressure sensors as well for air and liquid, and wired light and motion sensors. We also do a lot of room operating panels and high-end looking devices, very contemporary for high-end projects, and residential, high-end commercial.
Well, David, that's fantastic. But, you know, for our use, you know, our audience includes, in addition to systems integrators and contractors, we also have a lot of end users and architects and consulting engineers that that listen to this show. For those people that might not, really be familiar with the latest in wireless, I mean, I know when wireless first came out, I mean, there were some glitches. To this day, I talk to, consulting engineers and people that are afraid of it. Talk, if you would, about, first of all, the advantages of going wireless, which some of them are very, very obvious, but also, some of the advances in technology and what applications would be good and what applications to stay away from, if that's not too broad of a question.
Okay, yeah. Well, the wireless technology has come on a lot over the years, and, on a day-to-day, we do face skepticism. The technology has improved. We can do a lot more. We've got a lot of different options. One of the first, new technologies is the new frequency for North America. As I said before, it's the 902 frequency, which is a lot more stable, a lot more reliable versus the previous 315. We're able to do a lot more with the different devices. Thermacon has, temperature, humidity, CO2, light and motion wireless. We can now very easily bring any device into different gateways and receivers to bring back to pretty much any BMS or standalone application, such as BatNet IP, BatNet MFTP, LAN, Modbus, Ethernet, etc. But in response to your question, Eric, with reference to wireless projects and skepticism, is we do bring out some. A new product, which is it's called AirScan. It's a new field strength measuring tool. So, we recommend people to use this tool to survey sites, look at the applications, and also for troubleshooting if needed. The technology really has moved forward, and we are seeing less and less skepticism and people more open to trying out wireless once again.
Is there sort of a general figure on how much money you can save doing a wireless sensor installation versus hardwire?
Yeah, I'd have to come back to you on the actual percentage savings and the figures, but we're obviously saving a lot of installation costs, labor costs, wiring costs using the wireless technology.
David, that's good stuff. Tell us about some of the new products. I know you guys have a lot on your plate. What are the new products you're intending to introduce at the, the ASHRAE show 2015 to the North American market?
One of the new devices for wireless that we're releasing is the SR06 LCD, which is a temperature humidity sensor, wall-mounted, solar-powered, no batteries, no power required. With an LCD display, set point adjust, fan stage, etc. That's a pretty cool, exciting product coming. We will also be showing the new air configuration tool for wireless, which allows you to set up all the Inotion devices, pair up with receivers, change parameters to all the thermostats, relays, etc., all from remotely from your laptop or from your PC. It's a new software tool, which is also pretty exciting. It takes away a lot of the clunkiness of wireless programming.
David, great products. Talk to us about how people find out more about Thermacon, and talk to us about your fabulous distribution network that comes through Controls Group North America.
Well, yeah, we opted to... to go through the distribution channel for North America, and we're honored to be part of the CG&A Controls Group North America. and you know, working with a lot of the premium CGNA distributors, introducing the wireless and also the hardwired sensors. We're building some great relationships with some of the distributors, and you know, really enjoying the feedback so far and some of the projects we've been working on with these guys.
There have been some pretty big projects. For our listeners out there, if you want to get hold of a CGNA distributor, cgnacontrols.net, and you can find a distributor list right there. David, what about the Thermacon website?
Yeah, we can be, all our products can be viewed on thermocon.com. You can contact us on there or by email, which is sales@thermocon.com.
All right, David and Control Trends. In summary, Thermacon has an amazing product portfolio. They have 2% wall humidity temperature sensors, 5-year warranty, duct, all of them are NEMA 4 as a standard, LCD options. They've got all the analog signals, all the communications, 4 to 20, 0 to 10, passive sensors, BACnet, LAN, Modbus. Sounds like you got it all, David. You now come up with a cost reference for all your existing part numbers against your competitors. You provide competitive pricing. I think you're going to have a very successful 2015.
I do too. All right. That's our guest, David Alaban from Thermacon, all the way from England, living in the United States now. You can see David at the 2015 Control Trends Awards, hopefully hoisting up a little bit of that trophy action. And also, David, you guys have a booth at the AHR show. Let our listeners know where you'll be during the day at AHR.
Okay, Eric. Yeah, we'll be, we're excited to be at HR and the Control Trends. We'll be at booth number 3542. Excited to see everybody.
Absolutely. David, thanks for taking a few minutes to stop by and speak with us.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, Eric. Pleasure as always. Thank you, Kenny.
Thank
you, David.
David Alaban, Thermacon.com.
Oh, really good stuff, Eric. I tell you, I like Thermacon. David Alaban does a heck of a job. And it's exciting. He's a young, motivated executive, and we'll see him for many, many years to come.
You can see him at the Control Trends Awards. Thermacon is a bronze sponsor of the 2014 Control Trends Awards, so we appreciate them as we do all our sponsors, because without the sponsors, we don't get to go have a big time in Chicago and have the big day where we all get together and acknowledge each other and have some fun and win some awards. All right, Kenny. Well, we're down to the last two posts. Tell me about the next one.
All right, Eric, this was my favorite post of the week, because when I found this, I was thinking of you. And I was thinking, how dare you suck all the electricity out of our grid with your brand new Tesla car? And I'm just kidding, of course. What this was a post by smartgrid.gov. It was rising plug-in electric vehicle adoption, impacts on the grid, which are negligible for now, but if this really, really, truly takes off, it will be dealt with, and they'll have the ability to come in with ways to deal with it. There'll be advantages, what they're doing right now is we're observing charging behaviors. It's a great post, and I'm just going to real quick over the highlights of it. But they took a bunch of utilities and a bunch of participants, and they basically observed charging behaviors, the grid technology issues, and just to go over them real quick. The charging behaviors, the vast majority of in-home charging participants charge their vehicles overnight during off-peak periods, off-peak being central to this post, were offered time-based rates were successful in encouraging greater off-peak charging, lessening the impact of the grid. Public charging stations usage was low, but primary took place during business hours, and thus increased the overlap with typical peak demand periods. So plug-in hybrid owners frequently used the often free public stations for short charging sessions to top off their tanks. So grid impacts, the length of charging sessions and the power required varies based on the vehicle model, charger type, and state of battery discharge. The average power demand to charge most vehicles was 3 to 6 kilowatts, which is roughly equivalent to powering a small residential air conditioning unit. However, depending on the model, the load from one electric model can be as high or as much as 19 kilowatts, which is more than the load for most large single-family homes. And I was wondering which model that was, but I don't think it begins with a T. Probably not.
It probably does.
And then the technology issues. Faster chargers require more expertise to install in homes and public stations. Installing a 240-volt charging station, which typically charges 3 to 5 times faster than a charge using a standard 120-volt outlet. So But the 240 volt installation requires a licensed electrician, occasionally service upgrades, and public charging stations that are going to use the rapid charger might not be able to get their money back in time. So because it's a high cost, and it requires substantial coordination with equipment vendors, installers, host organizations, has to deal with safety, code requirements, etc. And so the low usage of these stations would require longer capital cost recovery without substantial growth in usage. But they did find out that there was some communication issues. Some utilities found that residential interoperability problems in communication between the smart meters and the charging stations. They found that the devices, they got communication protocol interface and integration issues, Eric. So there it lies in our BAS integration rub. We can go in there and help them, we can have temporary controls create a router. They'll take the unsuccessful communication protocols and make them successful, because they found out that the two devices, they did like a random, or not a random, they did an intense evaluation, but they connected successfully in only 50% of the times. So when they're trying to do load reduction events, they could not send a signal to the smart meter and turn the charging station down or off. And so that was an issue that they got to resolve. So that's a heck of a report.
Well, it is a heck of a report. And haven't had the, for our listeners who might not know, I've got a Tesla about a month ago. So I've had it about a month. And Kenny, I tell you, it is, it's a change. It's great. But regarding the charging, I mean, it's a little bit like when you go to the gas, and when you have a gas car, you know, you wait till your tank gets near empty, you go fill up, right? I mean, that's the behavior. Well, with a electric car, you never want it to go down very low. So you are constantly topping it off, as they say, because if it goes down low on a 120 volt charger, like your home, if you're just plugging to 120 volt, you're probably going to take 2 days to recharge the car. Okay. If you have a 220, you're talking 6 to 8 hours to recharge it. The superchargers are great. And Tesla just put four in near me, and they're fantastic. You plug those in, and they it's free, which is great. You plug those in, and you know you're completely charged in an hour or less. And they just added 10 more at another location, a big mall here. So Tesla is all about getting those supercharging stations out. But that being the case, most people, like I have 220 volts at my office, so I actually charge every day. I go into the office, back the car up, plug the charger in, and while I'm at work, my car charges. So I always have a full charge on it. So it would be very interesting to see, how they're going to do that. And I think, you know, it does create a great opportunity for us, because they also, at least in Georgia, Kenny, are offering buildings tax breaks to install the electric chargers. So if you're a commercial building, I can very easily foresee that becomes a load that you'll shed during the peak, and you'll definitely have that on some sort of a time of day programming, or you'll have the ability to use one of the access, like a card access or something, where they can actually, you can charge them for the usage of the electricity. And there are a bunch of, there are free chargers around town, Kenny. There are a bunch of them that you have to pay. And, you basically go online, you get a code, you enter the code, and they bill you like, 3 cents a minute or 2 cents a minute or whatever, it varies. So I think it is, I don't think the electric cars are going to go away. I think we're going to see them continue, Kenny, but I think there's a lot of business opportunity around that technology.
Well, I remember the enthusiasm we had when you first got that, and I did some research, and it seemed like such a immediate, inevitable thing that the electric cars were going to just kind of take over in a much faster. I think we said 10 to 20, where we'd have that, where you don't have a cycle change, you have a structural change, but I still see the way the documents regarding the smart grid and the whole thrust behind it is that this is not going to stop. They're going to force feed this electric car industry into our society. And I think because, number one, it's one of the structural changes that you're saying. It's lessening the carbon footprint. So it has a lot of good social powerhouse behind it. There's a powerful forces that it's a good thing. But it's also a new industry. So you have a lot of big business people that are saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And all of a sudden, you're going to see just a tremendous technology thrust into this industry. Everybody's going to have a product for electric cars or charging stations or whatever. And it's just going to, again, it's going to take a slowly rotational force. But once it gets going, I think we're going to see rapid adoption of electric cars, not just where I live in. You couldn't live in Pittsburgh without a car because the transportation systems are just, they're so inadequate. We don't have any trains. We don't have any local. We have buses, but you got to walk them out of the bus station. I mean, you see kids walking and to and fro, and you know where they're headed to. They're headed to the, you know, the closest bus station. And then when they do their best, but everything's just so wide and distributed and not really thought out for mass transportation purposes. Well, I think this electric car is going to go into these gigantic cities like New York, L.A. or whatever. And they're going to, just like we see bicycles being parked and you put money into the thing and you drive the bike to the other cross, you know, across the city, park it again. You might see something like that with electric cars, you know.
Well, I think you will. And it's funny, one of the places I pulled up to charge a couple of weeks ago, the chargers were made by Siemens. So some of the controls companies are already into it. But, Kenny, I could argue that if you think about nuclear power, if everybody got electric cars and you went back to nuclear power, I mean, you get such a leverage point on that you would be tremendously more efficient and cleaner unless you had a nuclear power accident. So I think it's a big change, buddy. I think it's a big change. And listen, talking about change, let's get to our Smart Buildings Tip of the Week.
All right, Eric. We're like Jim Young and Howard Berger have said many times at the RealCom, IVCom meetings that you know, we got to change our thought process. We got to go from being enormous cost center building, being a, you know, like an investment of money that you can't get your money back, you know, or break even. Change that mentality from cost center to strategic contributor, and it really goes in you know, parallel to what we're saying now. We do a lot of jobs where we're our primary interest was to save energy and become more efficient, and set up energy strategies and you know, from night set back to, you know, staggered staggering the equipment when they come on, you know, et cetera. So we have all these great things, but then the real benefit and the genius behind it was the operational savings. So now that the we're getting a big data and we're aggregating that information, we are now seeing how operational savings can be equal to or more than energy savings. Well, this paper talks about how facility management teams can play a more strategic role in organizations. Insights into how facility management teams can contribute to business goals, examples of real-world results, and then the tips and techniques for saving time and decreasing costs and supporting energy-efficient practices. Now, this comes down to Accruent gives you 7 ways to save time, cost, and energy, and that is move to the cloud. Managing facilities on-premise systems requires internal IT hardware, et cetera, you can read that report. But they're saying how much of this is being done manually and how that is such a system there that it's incredibly inefficient and expensive. Embrace customer self-service. So whether the light bulb needs changed or a chiller's gone down, letting the customers handle some of that that servicing is a benefit. And instead of having multiple full-time employees running around and dedicated to do this, if you incentivize the attendants that, and it's almost like self-service gas stations or ATMs, the concept is if you gave them what they needed when they needed it, they would make that problem go away quickly because they want it done. So instead of being a source of aggravation for how long it took you to get there, they did it themselves. And then the automated the work order processes, integrate your work ordering processes in billing together so that it's not a two-step function. Move beyond spreadsheets to preventive maintenance preventive maintenance and repair versus replace decisions. And finally, there's 2 more. Connect with your vendors, and that's where we get involved. And that's where that's what caught my eye. In other words, we've seen Yardi out there type of software, and it ties it right to social media, and then it ties into Google Glass. So all this information plain lands, you can see what the cost per square foot is in a city. Within that building, the efficiencies are so incredible because they know how to make those cost per square foot go down and be more efficient. But when it all comes down to it, that HVAC and the things that create comfort that make that real estate valuable and keep tenants happy is where we get involved. And so there's a direct invitation to become a partner at that point in the conversation. And then finally, you have access your data and use it. So there we go with our third party, our analytic people, our Sky Foundries. There we go with our data visualization, our DG Logic, and our J2 Innovations. And, it all kind of encompassed everything we're doing. So I'm seeing this synergy coming, squeezing together. And like you always said, if you're good at integration, you're never going to go for want. But I see us like getting smarter. We're finally getting the other conversations and how the real estate world talks and how we can talk and how that talk now belongs in that same portfolio. And instead of being two separate entities competing against each other, we work together and do that synergy. And I think it's where Niagara X comes in, by the way, because they're going to put all that into a single framework that can basically handle now probably tenant billing. Oh, I know they did it because we've already done that. But I mean doing this the maintenance, preventive maintenance, and having an active program that's based on data that you're coming in from your HVAC equipment. So instead of having two separate things and having them merge in some SQL database, you have it as part of your initial framework.
Well, I tell you what, something, Kenny, and Howard Berger, Jim Young, those guys, RealCom, Ibicon, I mean, that's the place. That's Mecca. That's where you want to go. Kenny and I have covered those conferences in the past. They have them twice a year. I think the next one, Kenny, is coming up this spring, and I believe it's in San Antonio, Texas. If you're an integrator or a user, that's where you want to go. That's the intersection of technology and best business practices. I think Jim and Howard are prophets in our industry. They really, they point the direction, right? They, you know, they stay out front. And I think you're right, Kenny. I think this is very compelling. You know, you think of it as being a strategic asset versus just saving energy. I think saving energy is the bonus here. It's not the reason to do it anymore. There's so much more you can get out of the system. So good post, Kenny. That's your smart building tip of the week. All right, Kenny, and with that, I tell you what, we were running a little bit long today. I want to say a special thanks to our guest, Nino DeCosmo from Tritium, David Alaban from Thermacon, and we appreciate our listeners. I hope you guys have a great week and a great Christmas next week. Stay safe. Stay out of Sony movie theaters. You'll be okay. And stay tuned next week, Kenny. We've got our guests will be John Sublett from Tritium and Terry Short from Lake Spring. So with that, Merry Christmas, Kenny, and stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smiles.